I'd like to start out with saying thank you for the opportunity to come up and speak. As we've done many years in the past, we like to involve the young men in some of the evening services from time to time. And if you'll notice, some of the young men are involved tonight. When it comes to getting up and preaching, sometimes there can be a little bit of nervousness or anxiety that's associated with that, and when we were last talking about getting up and speaking, some of the young guys showed the natural reaction of being rather timid and anxious about the potential of getting up and speaking. So, as I would, and I thought, you know what, I just maybe I need to get up this time, and. That way, come December, we can have some of the younger folks get up here and speak. And they can see me fumble over my words and say the wrong thing, and that way it'll give them confidence. But I really do appreciate the opportunity. Psalm 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The wise man listens to advice. You guys remember what it was like before these phones that we have in our pocket? Some would say it was a more simple time. But they definitely can do a lot, right? In the blink of an eye, we never thought some of the things that we can do with our phones are possible. These mini computers in our pockets. You ever try and go somewhere without your phone now? Somewhere that you haven't been before? Now you have GPS on your phones, right? You can plug in an address, whether that be in Alaska or the county over, and you can go there step by step. You guys remember before that? I remember getting on the home computer and printing off MapQuest directions. That was something, right? Printing those off and making sure that you had those highlighted and where you need to turn and why and when. What about before that? I'm old enough to actually remember then. So what about before that? Well, you had to ask somebody for directions, right? Well, if you didn't have someone to ask for directions, you could actually use a map, right? An atlas. I remember, I'm not so young not to remember going on family trips with an atlas. In fact, Mom would time to time draw us maps to us, me and Jackie, to make sure we knew where we were. I don't know if that was to reduce the amount of times we said, "Are we there yet?" But nonetheless, times have definitely changed, right? So last year, about 3 years ago, I tried to swim against the current and get off the grid with a flip phone. I did it for different reasons, but this phone could only get calls and texts, right? Could serve the purpose of a phone, believe that or not. No connection to the internet. It was liberating, but what about when I had to go somewhere that I hadn't been before? Then I had to thoroughly study the directions or jot down directions before I left. Well, I'll give you the short version. It happened last fall. I was heading out to Lenore City to a farm to meet a group of coworkers for a team building event. I had made plans to pick up Chick-fil-A, meet them with said Chick-fil-A, have lunch, enjoy lunch, and enjoy team building activities. For the sake of time, I'll jump to the end. I showed up 45 minutes late to the farm, cold Chick-fil-A to a hungry team. Spoiler alert, a certain Debbie Haven ended up giving me directions over the phone. Gotta love your mama. I trusted in myself, and I failed. So I got 5 points I'm going to be sharing with you tonight about trusting in God. Point number one, don't depend on yourself. Trust in God. Two, run from evil. Trust in God. Three, pray without ceasing. Trust in God. Four, be quick to listen. Trust in God. Five, know your reward. Trust in God. When we walk in the Lord, with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Point number one, don't depend on yourself, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, as was read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His paths and His ways past finding out. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. If you don't already have your Bibles open, please open them and turn with me to the book of Matthew. I'll be reading from the Sermon on the Mount, starting in chapter 6. 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious about anything, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Oftentimes we stand on our own. We have it all together, right? The harder we try to navigate life with our own roadmap, the further we seem to get from God, and the deeper and deeper we seem to find ourselves in messes. I know I've spent so much time and energy trying to take care of my family, worrying about finances and food and payments and this and that, and just ending up worse off than I started. The moments that we truly let go and give it all to God, we see ourselves being more effective. At least I see myself being a more effective Christian, more effective husband, more effective father. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor fear nor a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Point number two, run from evil, trust in God. Proverbs 3, 7 through 8. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We'll be in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. There's no question that we can see evil everywhere we turn. We remember this morning, when quoted many times, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. More times than not, I find myself shaking my head at things that I see, evil going on in the world, from shows on TV to the things people wear, to the things people say, to the tolerance or condoning of evil as if it's commonplace, to the hate and division that seem to be out there everywhere we turn. You know, I'd like to do a study of what's considered wrong by the world standards, even just 60 years ago. Lindsay, on our way to the beach about a month ago, we drove past a billboard for Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. Who doesn't? But I was a bit upset whenever Cracker Barrel now serves alcohol. Cracker Barrel, it was a Cracker Barrel billboard showing alcohol. I go for biscuits. I don't know, but just to see the change that I have in the last 20 years is outstanding. And again, we're talking about the world standard, and that's not the measuring stick. I know that God's standards haven't changed. You know, I know. Therein lies the problem. It's evident why the world shifted and continues to shift. The one thing true among all this frustration, hurt, and evil is that we have a place where we must place our trust, and that's the Lord. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Point number 3, pray without ceasing. Trust in God. Psalm 55:16. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has power in its working. Psalm 16:1-2, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests. We know we have the request that we have asked him. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Turn back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. We'll be there again in chapter 7, Matthew 7. Be reading beginning in verse 7. Here Jesus is talking about petitions to him or asking of the Heavenly Father. He's going to be comparing this to requests of an earthly kind from a father and a son. A lot of times, you know, parables, as we saw this summer and we see reading God's word, Jesus is using examples to make us have a connection to them, to where we understand fully what he's saying. Now, necessarily, this isn't a parable that we're about to read, but as I was reading and preparing, I knew exactly, right? I knew exactly what he meant. 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for him bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask of him? Now, we're Five Below, the store that that John adored. That's his favorite store on the planet Earth. And I'm okay with it because it's cheaper than Target. It says if they try to charge $6, I'm gonna walk them outside and show them the sign. And all kidding aside, he bought one of those and goes back. He bought one of those canisters that says it has candy inside and is actually a coiled up snake, right? And it's he likes getting me with that, and So I chuckled when I read, gives him a serpent, because sometimes he asks for candy and I can give him a serpent. But anyhow, I've been teaching the high school group on Wednesday nights. I always start class with a prayer, as we do a lot of times. And the first thing we do is go around the room, ask for prayer requests. And sometimes there's quite a bit that comes up, and we always leave time for prayer. If that time of talking about things that we need from the Lord and ways we're thankful to eats into class time, so be it. How much time are we making in our own life to petition the Lord? How much time outside of these walls do we take? One time I challenged, you know, one thing I challenged myself with is when do I pray? What causes me to pray? How often do I pray? You know, we have the God of the universe waiting to hear from us. And he wants to be engaged in our lives. You know, he's providential in so many ways, and we're so thankful for that. But I ponder on sometimes if we are allowing ourselves to be engaged in an activity that is conditional, right? Prayer is conditional. We have to pray to our Lord. And if we're faithful, which we are, if we're faithful in the fact that he's going to answer those prayers, then if we limit ourselves by our own selves, if we limit the time that we're praying, all we're doing is hurting our opportunity to continue to be blessed in this life. And I'm not talking about, you know, the money and right, but the things that the Lord helps us with in the day in and day out, we're just going it alone if we're not active in our prayer life. We have a number of people here that we can call upon for help. The Lord's blessed us with a wonderful church family. But are we forgetting the one and true living God is also there to help and help in such a big way if we just ask? But we can never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Point number 4, be quick to listen. Trust in God. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. John 8:47, whoever is of God also hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That which we have heard. John, in his first epistle, we see language continuing, that which you have heard from the beginning, that which you have heard, that which you have heard, right? Go with me to the book of James, the first chapter. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, we chuckle whenever we hear the old saying, God gave you one mouth and two ears for a reason, right? I don't know if that's made in haste sometimes. People talking too much, whatever. But it's funny when you hear it, and the statement's true. As we just read in James, we are to be slow to speak and quick to hear. This plays a big part in our trust. The more we listen, the more we learn. The more we learn of what God's will is for us, and the more we understand how we are to live consistently in this life. What more precious message to hear and to listen intently to than the one and only message from the God of the universe and his plan to redeem us through his Son. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Point number 5. No. Our reward, trust in God. Romans 6:8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, we will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died, he dies to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Romans 6:22-23, but now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. Sanctification and its end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One last scripture we're going to share together this morning, or evening, Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Pause there, because here comes the breath of fresh air. Right? You ever have those moments when things are just hard? Well, everybody does, right? In Bible class, I'll ask the high school and middle school age, hey, do you have any prayer requests? And sometimes I get crickets, you know, which is okay. I was one who gave crickets in high school, you know? You know what I mean? But so I say, so your life is perfect? Everything's going okay? You don't need God at all? I say that in jest. But when things are going bad, when things are going rough, when life is happening to you, if you're human, that happens, right? And let us not grow weary for doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Anybody else like that song, Further Along? It's a good one. I like it because even though it's, you know, not quite literal scripture, right? The concept is borne out that humility sometimes manifests itself in being okay not knowing all of it. Hence the trusting. So, verse 10, then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. How firmly do we trust that our Lord has prepared a place to spend eternal life with Him? How fully do we trust that the pains and the frustrations, the tribulations and the persecutions we face will all be over, and better yet, 100% worth it, because it's for the cause of Christ? The temporal things in this life we face amount to nothing when we view them in light of two things. Number one, the price that was paid that we might have eternal life. And two, the promise given that we have a home in heaven one day if we but walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, in Ephesians 5, the second half of the chapter, Paul is discussing the roles of wives and husbands. If you read it, you'll see a lot of things. A lot of the wives should be this, husbands should be this, right? That wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. That husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. One thing that is not called out in Scripture, but I know to be true, is that wives are phenomenal at reminding their husbands of things. Even though Paul doesn't talk about it, I know it to be true. I say that genuinely, because not by a show of hands, how many of us men have ever heard, hey, hon, you know, we got in the mail the other day your renewal for your plate. We need to make sure that you need to make sure and do that. Well, this summer that happened. Lindsay was off, and so she took the boys to the mall on a rainy weekday to play in the inside playground. She was also kind enough to take my renewal and get my new tag for the truck. I was excited because I actually like the new aesthetic of the blue one with the white, you know, the TriStar. One thing I didn't realize, though, is that the "In God We Trust" over the TriStar totally optional. Of course, she chose it for me, right? So now I have In God We Trust over the TriStar. But you must choose to have it displayed on your plate. That proved rather interesting to me, and I thought, well, that's just another way I see the world. But I got to think, hasn't trusting in the Lord always been a choice? And a choice that we must choose? I'm a number guy, so I had to call. I was interested. I actually called the county clerk for Blount County this past week. And it's like, you don't have to give it to me if it's not public record, but if it is, cool. So here we are, quite literally, at the tomorrow's the last day of November or October. So in the 10 months within the year, there has been, in Blount County, 111,773 plates, new plates or renewed plates, sold so far in 2022. Of the 111,000, there have been 66,219 people who have decided to have the words "In God We Trust" show on their plates. 66 out of the 111. That's a lot. I was pleased to hear that number, right? I was pleased to hear that number. But what about the 45,000? This isn't a passive trust. It's one that requires action every day, day in and day out. One that involves the things that we've been discussing tonight. Not leaning on your own understanding, turning from evil, praying and engaging God in your life, by listening intently to what God has to say in our lives through His inspired word, and by knowing our reward and thanking Him for it. All of these require an intentional decision to trust the Lord. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's not a Christian, and you haven't known the haven of rest that comes with fully trusting the Lord. Why not have the peace that surpasses all understanding? Why not be able to sleep soundly tonight knowing that you obey the Lord and everything that He's asked you to do to be called His? Would you take the first step? God wants you to. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been fully, actively trusting the Lord. You know, we read of the church of Laodicea, right? It's the lukewarm church we read about, right? There's no opportunity to be lukewarm. There's no opportunity to be vanilla. There's no opportunity to be passive. Maybe you haven't fully been trusting the Lord. Maybe you have become weary and really need to start giving more over to God. Maybe your level of anxiety about the day in and day out grind just has turned into a burden to where now you think, I've got to handle all this on my own, and I've got to wear it all on my shoulders. We know that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we can help you in any way, please come forward.